Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands. Well, people are, the organisers at least, are trying to wash their hands of what happened in Oliver Bond Flats, just down between Thomas Street and the Quays in Dublin, recently refurbished one, award-winning in terms of their original design and refurbishment. And there's a beautiful new AstroTurf put in there by Dublin City Council. But it was the venue for a major party on Saturday night, which was subsequently seen by so many people, including Claire Doheny. Claire, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
Now, Saturday was an especially sad day for you because...
Well, let's put it this way. Friday, my very best friend of 64 years was buried on Friday morning. And then to look, to see this video over the weekend, to see all those people at that party the other night, it's like as if they just didn't care that COVID exists out there. You know, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't even realise it. It was my sister who rang me to say, have you seen the video? And when I looked at the video, and then I thought, what about all the people who live in those flats, parents of all these people? Surely they could have done something about this and stopped it.
And it was a pretty, well, there was a marquee set up, there was a desk set up,
yes.
There was electricity set up.
Yeah, I mean, it took a huge, like, to have a marquee set up, to have the music blaring till all hours at night and all of that, and all those people drinking the whole lot, and there's the rest of us, we're told on Friday, you can't go here, you can't go there, we have to stay. I will go away with my husband next weekend for a number of days. We haven't been anywhere since February. I haven't even been at a restaurant or anything, and we were so looking forward to going, and now we can't go because we have to stay in Dublin.
And your friend who died, Claire.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us her first name?
Her name was Frances. She was a very, very good friend
Frances.
Of mine.
Okay.
And unfortunately, now she didn't die of COVID, but she was sick the last couple of, has been sick for a number of years, but she just during the COVID,
she
got very, very ill.
If sick for a few years, a poor woman, how did you manage to visit her during the pandemic?
I couldn't. I like that. She went into hospital about 4 weeks ago.
Right.
And I couldn't, I didn't, the first couple of months I didn't go near her. She doesn't live far from me, but I stayed away from her.
Okay.
And then eventually then when I was able to visit, I could see where she was getting sicker. And eventually then she had to go to the doctor. They eventually took her into hospital. I couldn't see her in hospital. I wasn't allowed in to visit. Even her poor husband couldn't go in for days to visit her.
Annie, you've been friends for how long?
Sorry?
You've been friends for how long?
Oh, 64 years.
Wow.
We started school together at four. And we've been friends all those years. And it broke my heart to think I couldn't go in and visit her at all in the hospital. Nobody was allowed in to visit her. And like that, her son, who lives in England, came over.
Mm-hmm.
He self-isolated for 2 weeks before he could go in to visit her the day before she died. And he had to be fitted out in full PPE. He was allowed in for 15 minutes. And that was it. You know, and then we had the funeral then on Friday, and like that again, nobody could go near anybody, nobody could, we couldn't go anywhere afterwards or anything. And then when I saw this video of this party, I thought, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I don't know whether people are just not listening to the government anymore or what, I don't know, but it just made me so mad. And I don't normally do things like this, Joe. I've never been on your programme before. And I normally wouldn't rant and rave, but I got so
mad. You're not ranting and rave, you're speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't an isolated incident. I don't know whether you heard the agriculture correspondent, but he's also a farmer, Darragh McCullough. There was a rave on his farm at the weekend. And they invaded his land, whatever. Well, they invaded Dublin City Council land on Saturday night to have a party. And I don't know whether you saw the drugs paraphernalia that was there the following morning.
I did. What has the country to do to get through to these people, Joe? I really don't know.
And when you're living in Dublin, obviously.
I'm living in Dublin.
And how's the lockdown affecting you that you can't leave Dublin city or county?
Well, like that again. I mean, we were 40 years married now there at the end of June, and we were planning to have a big party with people to the house and all. We didn't do it because he said it wasn't right. And we didn't do it. And we just had a couple of people over the following weekend just to have a meal and a few drinks. And that's the way we did it at the end of the day. And like that, now we got, I got on with it. I went for walks with my husband. I have a very good husband. And
you were due to travel to Galway.
Oh, I was due to travel to Galway next week.
Have you abandoned that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, we're not going. No, we rang the hotel and they felt, no, that they couldn't take people down from Dublin. They wouldn't risk it. That's what they said to us. So we've said, that's fine. Well, we wouldn't do it, Joe. We're not those type of people who would go against the rules out there, like, you know what I mean? Mm. So, but no, I must say, no, I was so annoyed. Really annoyed. And I'm still annoyed with them. Yes. When I see the videos still, I really know. I don't know what we have to do to get to people, to try and get the people to realise that this is a disease that's killing people.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't know, Joe. I mean, I'd like to know why they had it. I mean, as someone come on to say why we had this party the other night. Why did they do it in the first place when they knew the regulations were there?
Well, people can't say they don't know the new regulations unless they're living on, well, maybe they think they are living on a different planet.
Well, obviously they must be living on a different planet to what I'm living on anyway, I'll tell you that much.
And they all have parents and probably grandparents as well, and they're the most vulnerable. I'll bring in Rita, 51551, wash your hands. Rita, good afternoon. Hello, Rita.
1850, 1857, 1580.
Hello, Joe. Yes, Rita, go ahead. Your point, please. You begin about your daughter.
Well, it's just an observation. Disappointed when I heard of the party at Oliver Bond Street flats yesterday. Yeah. You know, I was shocked. But it just hit me, really, that I think maybe we should have the pubs opened, the wet pubs opened and regulated, not having the restriction that you have to have €9 worth of food to have a drink.
Which has happened everywhere in the country, apart from Dublin today.
And that all the off-licence would be closed, or any outlet that would sell alcohol for the moment. Because that would prevent, I think, we're putting pressure on, teenagers or older to congregate in, you know, not supervised or policed environments. So I would prefer if they could go to an environment that is
you're saying
regulated.
Shut the off license and shut the stores and also shut the off license sections in supermarkets and garages, and is that what you mean?
I think so. Yeah. You know, because I think
in the meantime, open the Dublin pubs that are closed at the minute.
Well, I'd open Dublin pubs and I'd open any kind of regulated premises that teenagers of their age can meet.
But our off licence is not regulated in terms of age restrictions and.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. You can buy the drink, but it's what you do with the drink. You know, I mean, we all like to have a party, but I think we're pushing them into doing those things when we don't allow them into.
But what about putting up the price of alcohol in off licences?
Not really. I don't think it's any significance, really, whether you put up the price or not. I would prefer to see them in a regulated pub, you know, and the proprietor would have responsibility. It would be regulated, it would be segregated, it would be similar to your restaurants, which are working very well.
And I think
we have to give teenagers credit. I mean, you know, they will be responsible.
Okay, say with us, Rita. Catherine Delaney has contacted as well. Catherine, you're saying it's awful looking at those images. Well, the one that's gone viral, so to speak, is from Oliver Bond Flats in Dublin. Especially the difficulties, which indeed Claire has referred to, and Rita, the difficulties, and I'll come back to you, Rita, in a sec, talk about your daughter, but the difficulties other people are experiencing. What's your difficulties at the minute, Catherine, because of COVID?
Hi, Joe. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. My difficulty is that my father is in a nursing home. And up to recently, we have been receiving indoor visits and window visits.
Okay.
But on Friday evening, then, I received an email from the nursing home informing us that all visits, indoor obviously, but also window visits have been cancelled. So that's something that, to be honest, just doesn't make sense to me. How can I give my father COVID through a window? If I can go into McDonald's this morning with no more than 15 people and buy a takeaway coffee, if I can get in an airplane to go to Germany or wherever I want to go, And I can't stand at a window to see my father, who has dementia.
And what was it like standing at the window? Tell me of that experience.
To be honest with you, yes, Joe, it's very sad. But we as a family, the way that my father is, preferred the window visits, because if we went for an indoor visit, we had to wear a mask.
Okay.
So he obviously didn't know who we were. It's hard enough for him to know us, even when he sees our faces. But we, the best response that we would get from Dad is when he can see our faces. So while I fully understand that the indoor visits are gone temporarily, that's fine, I can live with that. But it's just, to me, it makes no sense. I think it's cruel to stop me seeing my father through a window. I just don't understand it. So I have emailed the Department of Health and I have tried to get clarification on that.
Well, is it like, again, you're back to the scenario where nursing homes are so vulnerable. They are so, as we discovered.
Absolutely, I 100% understand.
Is it that they don't want you in the grounds of the nursing home? They don't want you driving up or getting the bus up and
well, to be honest, I would always drive. Any window visit that we have had previously, there hasn't been another window visit even going on, even near us. So it's not that there would be a congregation of people even in the car park. Literally, it would be myself, my mum and my brother. We were the three that always went for the window visits. I think on one other occasion, there was another window visit very far away from us. We weren't near them.
But is the window visit, is that banned by the COVID guidelines as of Dublin Friday midnight? Or is it the hospital itself?
No, it's. I have to say, actually, I would like to take this opportunity to commend the nursing home. They have been amazing through all of this. They love my dad. They looked after him so well. My brother spoke to the manager of the home this morning. They can't even get clarification as to why window visits have been suspended.
But they've been suspended as part of the guidelines?
Yes, from Friday evening, yeah.
And did they refer to them as window visits?
Yes. Yeah, it actually said in the email, all visits, indoor visits and window visits are to be suspended.
Okay, it's part
of the So I would just love somebody from the Department of Health to let me know why I can't see my dad through a window. And 100 people can congregate in a bloody party on a Friday night. Like, it's so annoying. It's so frustrating. Somebody needs to tell me why I can't stand at a window and see my father. Sorry. Getting a bit emotional now, but it's been a tough few months, I know, for everybody. But in this particular circumstances, it's just cruel, Joe. It's cruel to me, to my family, to my father.
When you say stand at the window, do you mean, can you lean on the windowsill? You know what I mean? How close can you get?
You can lean on the windowsill if the window is closed.
Okay.
Now, my dad can't talk anyway, so it's not like that we would actually even be having a conversation with him.
Right.
It's more that he sees our face. We see his face.
Okay.
He would walk away and come back a minute later and forget that we had already been there, you know.
And what about the new rule which came in a few weeks ago, the 10 days ago, that there could be only one nominated visitor?
Yes, we had four on the list. Now, it did. It went down to one. That was me, thankfully. And I only had an indoor visit with them last Friday, thank God. But I knew myself on Friday that probably would be the last one for a while anyway. But with indoor visits, as I say, didn't really work. Like, my dad doesn't sit in a chair and talk to you. He just walks and walks and walks. And if he goes to move towards you, they have to pull him away from me. I can't touch him. Mm-hmm. He can't touch me.
God, it is rough.
To be honest with you, I really, really don't mind about the indoor visit. It's the window visit that I really want and really need for him and for us as a family. You know?
I want to go back to Rita for a sec. Rita, you mentioned, you know, open the pubs, close the off licences, but looking at that video again there, most of them in Oliver Bond on Saturday night wouldn't be allowed into a pub. They'd be too young.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, that you cannot regulate, you know, it's a parental thing, I suppose, when it gets to the underage. But I'm just thinking that if you're in a supervised environment, it's better than to have people, you know, congregating in the likes of the Oliver Bond. If you take it on a Good Friday, you know, over the years, I know it's changed now, but people always wanted to stock up for the Good Friday because they were told they couldn't drink. And I think it's the same, you know, maybe you would need somebody like Maureen Gaffney or some psychologist who would work out what goes on in a teenager's mind. But I think when you tell them they can't do something, they're possibly, you know, an urge there to do it, you know. But it's just when they go home then to vulnerable people.
I know, that's a great worry. Your daughter's an occupational therapist.
Well, she works in London and she did get the coronavirus.
Oh, did she?
And, you know, from the hospital, because I was at the earlier stage when they didn't realise. But had she been living with somebody that was vulnerable, like at an older age, you know, they would have got it without her realising it. So I think people have to realise that, you know, that it's potential to kill somebody. And, you know, she has nursed somebody, would have gone into the nursing home, would have left their husband and father-in-law. But by the time that patient came out, they were both dead as well. So it is a reality.
Wow.
That,
and
you know,
what was the level of coronavirus, so to speak, that your daughter got?
It was quite high, you know. She was quite sick with it, and she was a younger age, so it can affect you badly. I just, you know, feel sorry for people, you know, like those families that those are returning to, because, you know, they don't know where they have been. They may have the virus and, you know, it spreads. So, you know, we all have to be aware in the community, watch out for one another, maybe, you know, be helpful to one another and, you know.
Let me bring Mary Boland in. Mary, I see you're recovering from COVID. When did you realise you had it?
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I think today is roughly my eighth day, and so I'm still recovering. But a couple of more people in my household had it, but everybody has different symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult to diagnose. We really thought that it was the flu. My husband had it for about 2 days, my son for about four, and we all type of had different symptoms apart from one common symptom, which was the chills.
And, okay.
Yeah, you know, like that achy feeling, like you have the flu and being hot and cold.
What about your taste and smell?
No, nothing at all. I got a cough. I'm the only one that got a cough in the house.
Okay.
And
what type of cough?
A dry cough, a chesty cough.
Okay. Painful?
No.
Okay.
No.
Persistent?
Now and again. It doesn't bother me at night.
Didn't keep you awake?
No. 2 years ago, I had a very hard chest infection. And that was maybe two or three times worse than this is now. You know?
Okay, so another aspect of is it's visiting somebody in a nursing home, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell us.
My mom is in a nursing home. Joe, it's just really sad. We don't know when we can actually be in the same room as my mom again. She's been in a nursing home since March. Well, 3 years now. No, but since March, we haven't seen her face-to-face as such. We've had window visits. And can I just say that the nursing home staff are wonderful.
They
really
are.
And she is, without a doubt, she is very, very well loved. But at the other side of it, I know that my mom is missing close contact with her family. And I mean, they have built a perfect room now that we my sister got to go into last weekend. You can nominate one person from your household, it's five siblings and mine, and you get a half an hour to go in, that one person. My sister went in on Thursday and she seen my mum for the half an hour, but there's a screen going across the width of the room and up to the ceiling. So it's type of like, I don't want to say a prison visit, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom is in great form. It looks like she's okay. She's doing well. But it's her condition is definitely deteriorating. And apart from any other aspect of life, I think the closeness of her family, you know, from a family that would have seen my mom every single evening and taken her out every single weekend without fail. And that was the only way that we made a decision to have my mom in the nursing home, that we could still give her a really good quality of life and that she could be cared for, you know, at night. She wouldn't go out at night and, you know, she wasn't in danger. But now it's gone the opposite, that doesn't seem to be any clear guidance or any roadmap when we can actually hold her hand again, when we can hug her. Nothing. And it's devastating.
And have you been able to, with the phone or FaceTime or WhatsApp Zoom?
Yeah, we can FaceTime. We can organise a Skype call. And, you know, we had got the window visits, but it's still really hard. I mean, we used to go in and we have a little fridge in our room and we used to top our fridge up with drinks and a couple of healthy snacks and stuff, you know, and we can't do that anymore. And it's just not knowing. I mean, at the back of it all, I suppose the hardest thing, Joe, is just not knowing when we can have some sort of normality with my mom again. I mean, is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be 2 years? Because there's guidance there, and the homes don't necessarily have to go with the guidance. And don't get me wrong, they're doing well and they're doing the best. But at the end of the day, we have to realise that this is a business, and what runs easily for a business is going to come out in the end. And I think this is easier for the home to deal with. I don't know. I'm not an expert. Mm-hmm. I'm just suffering because I don't know when I'm going to be able to hug my mum or see her again.
And I'm looking at the title of her email. When can I kiss my mother again?
Yeah.
Mary, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. Horrible.
Let me bring in Annie Bourne back to this off-licence issue. Annie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to, well, Claire brought it up, and a number of other people brought it up.
Yeah, well, lady, I was very glad to hear somebody with a bit of common sense.
It was Rita, actually, you said it, yeah. And what do you think should happen with the off-licences?
No, that's a very bad line we're on, but anyhow.
Okay.
No, it is. I think it's a disgrace that the government are so stupid. From the 1st of March, apparently there was never as much drink sold since the 1st of March. Pubs, hotels,
well,
anything.
Yeah, well, pubs, and but the pubs closed, so that's why...
Yeah, since that happened, there was never in another year as much drink sold as there has been since the lockdown.
And what would it achieve if you shut down the off-licences, for example?
Well, there wouldn't be parties, would there?
Well, how would you stop them?
But you're without the drink.
Well, if you said you were going to...
I went to the Eye and Ear Hospital, and anything like the cans that was thrown in the canal there about a month ago.
Yeah, and we had people on Friday saying when the pubs close, the canal becomes...
I stood in Italian Pride, and I seen the amount of drink that was going out of a supermarket. It's ridiculous. And if they put... they should lock up all them drinks in the supermarkets. They should never have got license number one for it. In any supermarket, they were selling food, it was enough for them. And I guarantee you, pubs wouldn't have sold as much drink. And I really blame the government. I don't blame anyone else. I blame the government. They're allowing it. Of course, they're getting great revenue.
Yeah, there's a lot of tax on alcohol.
And that's who I'm blaming.
Well, maybe they should put up the price of alcohol.
Pardon?
Maybe they should put up the price of alcohol, Annie.
It wouldn't matter.
Would it not? Okay.
They'd get the money for it.
Well, you see, in South Africa, where they did shut the off-licences, they all turned to making illegal booze. Pineapple beer, apparently, is the big hooch over there.
Yeah, but look at here. People are going out with loads of drink, Joe. Hmm. Common sense. They're not buying it to give it to cattle, are they?
No, they're not. No, they're not.
There's somebody drinking it and misbehaving.
Let me bring, say with us, Annie, Pádraig Geoghegan. Pádraig, what's your situation?
Hey, Joe. I have a mother in the nursing home as well, and at least we can do the window visit. But my thing is, how long is this going to go on for? How long are we going to be separated from our loved ones? There's no plans in place. Yeah, the nursing home, what can we expect? Well, the numbers are this, the numbers are that. You know, we can't do anything. But that's not true. We can do something. The guidelines are there. The government guidelines are there. They encourage for me to go in and assist my mother with a meal in her room. They encourage a drive in her car. She's a wheelchair accessible car. which is sitting there, tax insured, doing nothing now. You know, she always went out. She always went out.
Try and come closer to that phone, will you, Patrick? It's a bit.
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me there now?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, stay there. We'll improve it. Stay with us, everybody. 51551, wash your hands. It's the text number 1850-715-815.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Patrick, on your restrictions about visiting your mother, it's all down to the virus, isn't it?
It is, of course. And we everybody that has someone in a nursing home understands that. And they've done very well to keep it out of this particular one. But, like, you know, my mother hasn't a clue, like, when she's going to get out again. They've been locked up since March. They're the only ones in the country that have been so. It's not fair on them. If you look at life through their eyes, there's nothing to look forward to. My mother says to me every evening, she says, "Will I go home with you now?" And all I can say is, "Mom, you're still locked in, and I'm still locked out."
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking. So, like, there is... why can't I bring my mother out into the car park, push her around in a wheelchair, in the fresh air?
Because it's you. Because it's someone from outside the nursing home. That's why.
Yeah, but, like, if you're outside the nursing home with a mask on you, surely that's safe.
Hmm.
Like, I brought my mother to a consultant's visit. We did get her out once. And the nursing home was very nearly not going to let me know that consultation was even on. I found out by accident. And the consultant says, "You make sure you stop for a cup of coffee on the way home with your mother, on the way back there with your mother. So don't bring her straight back, she's out." You know?
Yeah, but that was BC. That was before COVID.
No, it wasn't. It was there.
Sure, okay. Well, it was before the levels went up again. Because level 3 in Dublin makes it clear visiting at long-term residential care facilities, including nursing homes, is suspended.
Yeah, that's
why
Dublin. I'm outside Dublin.
You're outside Dublin. Okay.
Doesn't make sense that they won't. But
window visits, it's the most harmless thing you could be at.
Exactly. Yeah. Why would they stop us seeing them through a window? It just does not make sense to me at all.
I'd lose my life if that happened to me. At least we still have our window.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we haven't. We have nothing now. Absolutely nothing. I have no idea when I'm going to see my father's face again.
The government guidelines allow us to bring, they encourage us to take them out even for a drive. That's the truth.
But it's not fair to say, obviously, different nursing homes have different configurations, different architecture, different infrastructure, different space.
Of course, levels. But in my situation, my father is actually, his bedroom is actually on the ground floor.
Okay.
So I just don't see any reason why I am not allowed to go to his window to see him. And I want somebody to give me a reason, and maybe then I will understand it. But at the moment, I just cannot understand why I can't do it.
Okay.
There is more to be done, and a little bit. And we're not asking for a lot.
No, certainly not. A window visit once a week even is not a lot to ask for your father.
But the government have also said they've left it up. Obviously, there's guidelines, no visits, but they've also left it up to the management in each nursing home if they want to impose, basically.
Well, I think that's wrong, Joe. I think it should be the same for all homes.
And why do you think it's wrong, Mary?
Because I just think that why have one rule for one and another rule for another? I mean, that doesn't...
Because nursing homes are different. Some of them are in built-up areas. Some of them are in beautiful country, verdant settings. Some of them are like office blocks in city centre areas with very little space around them.
Well, I can just say to you that where my dad is, there would not be an issue. He's on the ground floor. As I say, any other window visit we've had, we once have seen another family do another visit.
Okay.
They were very far away from us. Okay. So it's not like people are congregating in car parks, congregating anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sort of thinking that it suits the nursing homes not to have us in there a lot of the time because, you know, even regular times. Sort of suits them that type of thing. Because you're always asking, can you do this for my Mac? Can you do that? It all takes up time. They don't want to extra staff.
Okay.
It's just unfair and it's just cruel. It's just cruelty now.
Very cruel.
Yeah.
By the way, are people writing letters and sending posting to the nursing homes? Are people doing that?
Yes. And I would send stuff in for my dad.
Yeah, great.
deodorants and smelly stuff and anything that he needs, clothes, whatever.
Chocolate or whatever he'd like, it's little treats.
I was told I was the only one. I was told I was the only one that was causing a ruckus, and that's not the truth, because I met numerous other members, family members of residents, and they have the very same song to sing as me. Despite that, we have a little bit more access.
No, I just think somebody needs to do something about this. I mean, this just should not be allowed to happen. It's just really unfair.
It's not fair enough. You put yourself into one of those residents' shoes, and you're looking across the room at other residents, and that's all you're going to do for how long more? How long more is that going to go on for?
I know nobody can answer that question as to how long it's going to go on for, but just give me a window visit until things do improve. That's all I'm asking for.
And outside Dublin, the number of named visitors is limited to 4 visitors per resident, but each resident can only have 1 or 2 named visitors at any one time.
Yeah.
So it's
we don't get that. And I'm down the country.
You don't get. So what do you get, Parig?
Well, I get 25 minutes once a week, and that has to be divided up. Well, there's 7 kids in it, so that has to be divided up. Like, I can go once, someone else can go once.
Very strict, all right. Mary Perissat. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm sure I'm mispronouncing your name, am I?
No, you're actually the first one to pronounce it properly.
Okay, it's a very unusual name.
I inherited it.
Lovely name. Tell us, you're in Kildare.
I'm in Kildare now. What to call it? Like, I find this very frustrating, being in Kildare and watching what's going on in Dublin at the moment. Like, we try to obey the rules and instructions that we were asked to. Now, the email I sent in to you was a particular point. We had my sister and myself and our friend had a lovely meal in a restaurant in Blackrock just before we were in lockdown. Now, the meal was lovely. Everything was organised very well. Which, as I said, I'm 69 years of age. I was very happy to go into it. Now, we actually had a window seat. And next door was a very, very well-known off-license.
Okay.
And while we were waiting for the meal, I was actually shocked to see the number of cars in the car park. And they were all going in, the people were all going into this license and stocking up and drink. The amount of cartons of drink, booze, vodka, crates of beer was actually horrifying. Now, my point is, I think Neffert and Stephen Donnelly has got it completely wrong. I would not close restaurants. They're obeying the rules to the letter. And to me, I was quite happy to go in, have my meal, say goodbye to my sister and my friend, drive home. Now, they're trying to say that all these people are now going back for office parties in their house and continuing on drinking. To me, if no drink was sold in these off-licences, would you go back to that same house to have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee?
I don't think so. Yeah, but one of the things that I noticed in the Oliver Bond scenario, which was the people going crazy on Saturday night, was this thing nitrous oxide, which is a drug. It's used in baking actually, but it's not legally on sale to individuals like that. But if I have had occasion recently to drive from the north side where I live to the south side to come across Queen Street Bridge, and you come to the bottom of the hill there up towards St. Catherine's Church. And at Oliver Bond Flats, there is a supermarket. It's not an official supermarket. It's a drug supermarket. There's a railings there, and the drug dealers are behind the railings, so the guards can't get in at them. Other lads, and invariably lads I've seen, they cycle up or drive up. They get off their bike. They go over to the railings, hand the money through the railings, and the drugs are sold. Now, if I've noticed that, dumb head that I am on a number of occasions, how come the guards have done nothing about it? And this is where this atrocity took place on Saturday night.
Well, I think you're right as well. You know, like...
Now, that's nothing to do with the off-licences.
No, listen. But also, I would also ask the question that if I organise a house party, I feel that... say the guards came out to my house and raided it, and there was 100 people or 50 people in my house, I feel I should be the one that should be fined. And why am I and the likes of me not getting the fine in the morning? And also, letting it be known that Mary Perlis thought it was fine. She had 20 people, 30 people in her house last night. This is what's wrong with it. Everybody, to me, like I would ask, I have great time now for a letter and a whole lot of them. But they want to actually get out and go around the off-licence and see the queues and the supermarkets. And if you nip this in the bud like they did for the say, like Kildare, they're saying that the infections will come down. But if they stop all these, all the drink being sold for 3 weeks, I nearly guarantee that the infections would come down.
Yeah, okay. But again, I'm baffled by the open sale of drugs in Dublin that nobody seems to do anything about. This nitrous oxide stuff is called hippie crack or whatever. And for people think it's hard, there was in all over the ground in Oliver Bond the other night, but the little used vials or whatever. But anyone who heard Mick Morrissey, he was on, I think it's about 8 weeks ago on this programme. His son Alex died after taking this nitrous oxide. He died in Dublin. So there's loads of loopholes at the minute. Okay, Mary, Catherine and Mary Boland, thank you all. 51551, wash your hands, 1850-715-815.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
RT.ie. Liz, good afternoon. You live near Oliver Bond. You said you came from all over the city.
They did, Joe. I live in Oliver Bond, Joe. I've lived there all my life.
Okay.
It was a free-for-all.
And what time did it start at on Saturday, Liz?
From what the neighbours were telling me, that lived facing the block where it happened, 6:30 in the evening. They rang the guard to tell them that there was a party being put in place and they never came out. And then when they did come in, they just drove through. But seeing me somewhere had put up on social media that this party was happening in Oliver Bond, without any consent or any due regard for the residents of the flats, over their health. And I went down at 5:30, 6:00 the next morning.
And do you reckon whoever organised it was from Oliver Bond, Liz?
No. No, the person that, from where I could get it this morning, the person that organised it doesn't live in Oliver Bond.
And what, they just came in and took over the AstroTurf?
Yeah, yeah.
How long is that new AstroTurf there?
That's down there about 15 years.
It's beautiful. It's really well kept.
Yep.
And the flats are preserved at this stage. They're such a...
We're a pretty strong community, Joe, and
I know
that. We always have been. I mean, what's been going out on social media this morning about the people that live in Oliver Bond is an absolute disgrace. I mean, we weren't responsible for what came into them flats.
Yeah.
We couldn't stop them coming in.
And the people ring the guards?
They rang the guards. They were on the phone all night to the guards, ringing the guards constantly.
Yeah.
They were in touch with the city council. They were horrified. Because, I mean, we're adhering to the COVID. We have to. We're trying to keep our children and grandchildren safe and our elderly people safe. But, I mean, if someone's going to put up on social media there's a free-for-all in Oliver Bond, or it could be over in Greece or whatever, they're having that free-for-all and people just dissent. I mean, it's very little the residents can do. There's over 100 youth.
But who put up the marquee?
This is what's brought in. So whoever the private company was that erected that marquee...
Oh, you reckon it was a private company?
It had to be a private company. Where else is it going to get a marquee?
And where did they get the electricity from?
I haven't a clue. I mean, they had a disco. I mean, that's another company that has to be brought in. So, I mean, if companies are willing during a pandemic to provide marquees and sound systems, they should be held responsible.
Absolutely. And have there been parties in that spot before?
There was before the COVID.
Yeah. What type of party would you have? A street?
It was just a local football team was only up for the last 4 years. They've won all the leagues in the four years they've been there. And they were celebrating that a couple of leagues. But, I mean, it didn't go on until all hours of the morning. They didn't need the rubbish behind them. I mean, the neighbours and the blocks surrounding that pitch filled up 23 black bags full.
Wow.
Of what was left.
And a lot of were those little nitrous oxide capsules that you break.
Yeah.
Now I pass Oliver Bond, and then it's on. I go up Bridgefoot
Street.
And you know, past the entrance to Block C, D, E, F, G, and H.
No, but the pitch is on the far side.
No, but I'm asking. Sorry, I will go through that in a sec. But you know, the railings there, just past those blocks on Bridgefoot Street, and then you go. There's one block, and then there's a big grass area.
It's the main garden there. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, am I right that I've seen fellas selling drugs through those railings?
No, you would have seen them there, but they're not there anymore because the garden's been knocked off. The neighbours got out there and they closed off the garden.
Well done. Well done. And who were those people selling the drugs through the railings?
Well,
in broad, this is broad daylight, by the way.
They were doing it 24/7, but they're not from the flats. This is what I'm saying. So the neighbours said enough is enough.
So they were using, they were behind the railing. So the, if the guards came, they could scarp her.
Yeah. So the neighbours had enough and they locked, they got the garden, the gates locked.
Well done.
And they cleaned up the garden and said no more. I mean, there's only so much we can do as a community, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
We need the support of the authorities behind us.
Okay, say there, Liz. Margaret, good afternoon. You live in the same area in Oliver Bar, near Oliver Bond, is it?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, tell us what happened on Saturday night, Margaret.
Well, what Liz basically had to say, and it started from about 6:30. The police came in when the marquee was actually getting pulled up.
Okay.
So they, that was the perfect opportunity for the police to kind of nip it in the bud before it got out of control. But they didn't. They drove off. 20, 30 residents rang, consistently kept ringing Kevin Street, complaining. They were driving in, driving back out, doing nothing. As the more the police were coming in, the more people that was coming in. They were coming in taxis. They were coming in from Ballymun, Finglas, you name it, everywhere. But the police had loads of opportunities to stop it, and they didn't. They didn't stop until 10 to 12 at night.
Well, I'm just wondering, would they... You know the way Liz mentioned there that there's a great little football team there that won something recently. Would whoever was organising the party said to the guards, oh, we're the football team?
Listen, the football team, Oliver Bond Celtic, have went to DCC. They're willing to take over this pitch. They're willing to take over the maintenance. They have loads of tradesmen on the team, the senior team, and they said they'll gladly take it over, take it out of DCC hands. And once that was in control of Oliver Bond Celtic, there wouldn't be any antisocial
behaviour.
There'd be nothing going on.
But had Oliver Bond Celtic anything to do with Saturday night?
Not at all. Not at all. You must be joking. Not at all. Nothing got to do with Oliver Bond Celtic. Nothing whatsoever got to do with him. This was somebody from outside the flats that came in and decided to have a party.
And you're adamant.
Nothing got to do with anybody from Oliver Bond or connected to Oliver Bond or certainly not Oliver Bond Celtic football team.
And would people have been afraid to shout over the balcony, get out?
Of course you would. We couldn't shout over to 100, 200 people. That's not our job. That's what the police is there for. That's what you're rung for. And you didn't do it.
Well, how many police arrived? How many police did you see, Margaret? Did they arrive on bicycles or...?
They were kept coming in a car, kept coming in, back and forward in a car. And just driving past them and driving back out again. And then I think they got fed up with the amount of people that was ringing. And then they eventually went down at 10 to 12 and then stopped it. But your 10 to 12 is too late. The kids have been urinating all over the stairs. Everybody was kept awake. So they come down, broke it up and said that they'd be gone, they'd be back again. They never came back in, the police. So the kids just turned back around and went back in and were there then till 6 o'clock in the morning.
The party went on till 6 o'clock in the morning?
6 o'clock in the morning it went on to him because it was stopped at 10 to 12. The police said they'd come back in. I'm going to move them off again. They didn't. The police drove out. All the kids went around and went back again and were there then till 6 o'clock in the morning.
And how long were they there? Says you, there were 23 black plastic bags full there.
23 black bags that we picked up. All the residents got out yesterday because we wouldn't see the caretakers coming in and facing that of them on the morning.
Oh, fair play, yeah.
And we've seen about 3,000 to 5,000 of those little canisters.
Those little capsules that you break, the nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
And as I
see, what's happening is Oliver Bond now is getting, we're getting, the people of Oliver Bond, the residents in Oliver Bond, we're getting called terrible names all over social media. And it wasn't anybody from Oliver Bond. We have a great community in Oliver Bond, but unfortunately, we get blamed. Do you know what I mean? It's from Oliver Bond. They're coming from the outside, coming in, then we're getting the blame for it. And we have to clean her up.
Where did they get the electricity from, Margaret? Where did they run the lead?
I have no idea. No idea whatsoever.
Did they have their own generator? Did they bring their own...
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
And by the way, what did you do with all the rubbish?
We purchased a lock. We locked up the gate because that gate is used for Oliver Bond Celtic have a junior team, an under-8 team now. They started an under-8 team. And this is where the kids train on the pitch. So there's broken glass all over the pitch. So we had to lock it because the kids were going up and practicing with their balls and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we locked it up, but we locked all the rubbish in the bag, in the pitch, in the bags. And then DCC came this morning and took all the bags, 23 bags of rubbish.
And did anyone, is there a residence association in the flats?
There is, we're setting up like a residence. We were setting it up prior to COVID-19, but obviously with all the restrictions, we haven't had any meetings
And were the flats refurbished?
No. They need to. They need a good going over the flats. They do, most definitely they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're famous in Dublin, that they're Art Deco, aren't they? The Sims, wasn't the Sims that designed them back in the 30s and 40s, and they're renowned for their longevity, whereas there was a block of flats across, am I right, across from Breechford Street there, that was demolished recently, wasn't it? That block only went up in the 60s.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Oliver Bond, I think, is preserved at this stage, isn't it?
Because I think it's preservation, on it.
And how long are you living there, Margaret?
I'm living there all my life.
Yeah. And Liz, how long are you there?
Born and reared in a job.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of people born and reared there.
Yeah.
Stalwart.
There's generations of families living here. But unfortunately, when the new resident that's coming in, years ago we were able to set people coming in. Mm. But unfortunately now we can't do that anymore. And a lot of people that's coming in, no fault of their own, a lot of them need special support because they're not used to living alone.
Yeah.
And it's creating problems for them, and then the problems wherever they're coming from is following them in. And then you have to realise too, you're both surrounded here by hostels. And they're walking through Oliver Bond, and they're like the walking dead, God bless them. Mm-hmm. And someone owns them. And I mean, we can't do anything for them. Eight children is subject to this every day of the week. And I'm not blaming the young people that's on the drugs, God help them. That's a lifestyle that they can't seem to get out of.
Yeah.
But I mean, eight children is watching them every day, walking in, walking out, falling asleep on the ground, coming into the flat, urinating. I mean, it's not on. It's definitely not on. I mean, there's decent people, hard-working people living in those flats. I mean, we haven't even got a community facility in there for our children. The only thing that those children have is a football pitch. Now, I mean, Micheál Martin, I believe, made a comment somewhere along the line this morning as well. It was for Micheál Martin better to come into Oliver Bond and to help the people to put structures in place to facilitate the children and make it a safer place for the children and grandchildren that's coming up. The future of this country.
And remember a few years ago, there was a North Inner City regeneration.
That's right. I said, why don't you come over to the South Inner City and do the same thing, but still a working class area, Joe. And we work very hard over here. The people over here work very hard to try and keep the flats right and proper.
Yeah.
I mean, we've locked off all the gardens to keep out the social health of them. I mean, that's not our job, but we've done it because we're doing it for the protection of the children and the elderly people that's living along the bottoms. But I mean, there's no one coming forward. I mean, the government is all very well putting restrictions in place and saying doing this and doing that, and they're making comments because of some gobshites that decided to have a party. They're not coming in to say, well, what can we do to facilitate it in here and to help make the place a better place for you? You won't do that.
And how can you stop it happening again?
Well, like Lynette said, the football pitch now, we'll go handing it over to the senior football team. I can guarantee you, these little shits that's coming in cars and hassle won't stand up to the lads off the football team. They'll stand up to women, but they won't stand up to men. So once they have control of that pitch will be kept locked, it'll be kept secure. And if anyone's caught breaking the lock off, we'll just their names will be given to the council, that's it.
And I don't want their names, but does anyone in the flats know who organised Saturday night?
Like I said, it was put up on social media. That's what I heard. It was it was a link put up on social media. It was a free-for-all in Oliver Bond.
But was there money changing hands? Did anyone pay in? Were they selling stuff?
I wouldn't have a clue, Joe. I wouldn't be surprised if it had their own generator. I wouldn't have a clue.
They're easy to get now on Thursday and Aldi or Lidl, aren't they? You get your own generator.
I wouldn't have a clue.
How can you stop it happening again, Liz and Margaret?
Well, the only thing that said the pitch is locked now. I mean, people is up in arms in the flat. And maybe in one sense, it's a good thing that it did happen because it's then they're bringing the flats closely together now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's had enough now, and I think that's it. Enough is enough. And I mean, the anger is out there, and these youngsters, their friends can see that the anger is in the flats now. And I think it'd be very foolish to even try and attempt to have another party.
And has there been any COVID in the flats that you know of?
No.
Because someone told me, no, it wasn't. I know it wasn't Oliver Bond, but I don't know where it was. But someone told me there was a block of flats in the inner city. I don't know if it's South Inner City or North Inner City, where the HSE arrived en masse. They had to test everybody because a group had gone to Benidorm and came back with COVID.
No, that wasn't Oliver Bond.
I know it wasn't Oliver Bond. I know that.
No.
I know that.
No, I mean, people in Oliver Bond, like everywhere else around the country, Joe, is trying their best to keep the restrictions in place. We're wearing the face masks, we're keeping the distance with the children and all that. But I mean, we can't stop people coming in. I mean, Oliver Bond is wide open. I mean, we have no gates on Oliver Bond, so it's an open complex.
Yeah.
But if we had some kind of a gate or something that we could lock at night, that you can't get in.
Yeah, but you want to make sure fire engines and ambulances can get in.
But come here, Joe, the way the parking situation is in Oliver Bond at the moment, they're parking the cars in here and going off to work. If a fire brigade can't hardly get around here, or an ambulance. It's ridiculous.
And who's parking their cars there and going off to work?
People that walk around in the offices around us. That's been going on for years now. Dublin City Council is working at the moment to put a parking plan in place for us. The only people that live in the flats can park. And anyone else that parks there, their cars will be lifted.
Or clamped or whatever, yeah.
But at the moment, I mean, it's ridiculous.
And by the way, when you were all out cleaning on Sunday with the 23, filling up 23, had you, like, would you not have been worried about picking up something, the syringe or something broke or?
Well, come here, the syringe is dropped in these flats all the time from the people walking through, God help them.
Yeah, okay.
So what we do is we just kick them down to the showers away from the kids.
Right, you kick them down to showers.
Yeah.
So the kids can't get at them, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But as you say, it's a great complex, and
it's a brilliant complex.
And it's not a Vauban Celtic. It's a good team, isn't it?
They're only set up 4 years and they're winning all the leagues, and they're a brilliant team, and they're a great influence on the younger lads and the smaller kids coming up. They're a great influence for them. They're giving them something to do.
Yeah. But I'm just struck when you say, even I sent out about a residence, we can't have a residence association meeting because of the COVID. I presume all the services for the young people in terms of groups or youth clubs or youth sessions during the day or drugs, group-based services, I presume they can't happen either because of the COVID.
No. There's very few places that can operate during this, as you know, Joe. And I mean, the kids are missing out on a huge amount of things. But I mean, you can't, I mean, I myself operated a breakfast and an after-school club up in the Liberties for years, but I can't bring children back in because there's no guidelines for us to operate in after-school.
Okay, well, mind yourselves. Try and, well, maybe have you got a WhatsApp group, Liz and Margaret? Do you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe try and encourage more people to come into the WhatsApp group. And have you met your public reps or the local?
Yeah. We had Manix Flynn down this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Manix is very.
Karina and Nidalek. Now, Karina was one of our local councils, but she's under stepping down.
Oh, is she?
Because she would have been down there in the middle of it. Do you know what I mean? Because she's done great work.
She used to be Lord Mayor.
Yeah, she's
very active.
Brilliant work. She's done brilliant work over the years.
Fantastic for our community. Fantastic.
I'm sorry she stepped. Has she stepped down?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, she stepped down.
Oh, that's a pity. I'm sorry. I hope she's all as well. Okay, Liz and Margaret, stay together. You're great now what you did, and even cleaning up there was fantastic. Well done.
Okay, Joe. Thanks so look very much. Thank you.
Yeah, look after each other down in Oliver Bond. Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I think there's about 5,000 people in prison. Pauline, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe.
What's your situation, Pauline?
My situation, my son is incarcerated in Mountjoy Prison and he's been in since last September.
Okay.
And all through COVID. And it was myself who had him incarcerated in the end because he was on a self-destruct mission, I suppose, for a better word.
Mm-hmm.
But of recent, when COVID came, obviously the visit was banned and the whole lot, and he wasn't allowed to have any visitors. And he's got a couple of children. His son made his confirmation last week. And when the first lockdown came out, he was allowed one visit per fortnight with one child. Now, only one of his children know where he is. His eldest lad knows where he is. So he got to see him just twice. And he made his confirmation last week. And he was so upset. And he got pressed on Saturday to go to see his dad with me in his confirmation clothes, and we got a phone call at 10 o'clock that morning to say that the prison was gone back on lockdown again, and he hasn't had a stitch of clothes since last March. Not a new pair of stockings, not a clean pair of underwear, nothing. I think it's inhuman. They're locked away 22 and a half hours a day. Now, I know that they've done criminal activity, obviously. He's in prison, but it's inhuman, and I'm terrified of the mental health, how this is going to affect when he comes back out of prison. And he would not even a photograph of his children has he been allowed to have. His daughter made a
Why are you not allowed a photograph?
They're saying now that, I don't know how, I said if it's the case, the prison should be scientists, not, they're saying that they were getting drugs in on photographs. Don't ask me how that is. But he's not allowed a photograph of his son making his confirmation. His daughter made a communion last week. Not a photograph of her. Nothing.
Mm. I thought they'd allowed more phone calls.
No, no, one phone call a day, and they were allowed, they brought in a video link call.
Okay.
But he's actually only had one of them since March. I suppose there's so many prisoners.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tried to get one for his son's confirmation. I couldn't even get one for that. And, I mean, my son came from a very troubled, tragic childhood, which has led him to be where he is today. Mm. And I'm now worried of the impact that this is going to have on his own son. For the same reason. I mean, the child was so upset making his confirmation and then all built up to go on a visit and, like, a phone call. Our visit was due at 2:45 that day and we got a phone call at 10 o'clock that morning to say, sorry, that the prison was gone back on lockdown. Now, when they made the announcement on Friday, they still left the wet pubs closed but they left the other pubs open. The only thing they closed was they brought the community confirmation forward and yet they put the prison complete back down on lockdown. And I think it's inhuman the way they're being treated. And the effect it's having on the families outside. Now, like, I didn't get to see my son from March until I got the very first visit back in July. And at that point, I was only allowed on my own. His children weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And then they allowed one adult and one child for a 10-minute visit. Now, I mean, the visit is completely screened and I had to wear a face mask. If I'd had COVID in my pocket, I couldn't have passed it in.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I just think...
And how, when you got that visit after, what, March, April, May, nearly 5 months, how was he?
To be honest, I had an awful guilt for getting him incarcerated. And yet he came on so well and looked so fantastic and has done so well since he went in and... Obviously, they can get drugs in prison now, but hasn't touched a drug, nothing since he went in.
Okay.
But
what do you mean? You said it twice on that you got him incarcerated.
Well, what happened was his relationship had broke down. He'd come back to live with me, and there was a warrant out for his arrest, and he was gone, so far gone that I ended up getting him arrested myself. I thought, if I don't get him arrested, I'll end up burying him.
So what, you rang the guards and told the guards where he was?
Where he was, yeah. And he was in my home and I had to watch him take it out of here in handcuffs. And it was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life.
So, Pauline, you rang the guards. Did he know you were ringing the guards?
No.
You said,
I had gone in that morning and I put in for a barren order and I had got a 3.5-year barren order and then I thought, no, I can't just put him out onto the street because that's going to escalate the situation. He will be found dead.
Right.
So I thought if I get him arrested and he goes to prison, at least I have a chance of saving him. And I watched him. He'd been taken out in a handcuff. And
what did he say What did he say to you when the guardie arrived?
He said to me, at that point, he said, oh, thanks very much in a smart way. But then he wrote me a letter 3 months later and said to me, ma'am, like, you actually saved my life. He said,
yeah.
He said, there's plenty of people who've ended up in a grave. He said, and you've given me a second chance. He said, which I never thought I would have. And he actually, in his letter, he said to me, I'm not a bad person. I've done some bad things.
Mm.
And to be honest, I'm probably sounds terrible because he's a prisoner, but I'm actually so proud of the man he's become in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope when he comes out, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh God, when he comes out, I just have to hope from what he tells me that it has been the makings of him. Yeah. He had never been in prison before, so, and he's a grown man, he wasn't a child. But I'm just terrified of...
The prison, have you been in touch with the probation service?
I have been in touch with everybody. I've been on to the Minister for Justice, the Minister for Health. I have been on to everybody.
No, but the best people for a compassionate visit are the probation service. But the prison service say there was 1,352 video visits allowed in facilitated in Mount Joy over the past fortnight.
So maybe, my son got one since March and I know he put in for one for his son's confirmation and he didn't get it. And he had rang me and said, look, ma'am, I'm putting in for one. I don't know whether I'll get it. And he didn't get it. His daughter wrote him a letter that I was bringing on Saturday because she was making a communion and I had to read it to him on the phone so that when he rang her, he could pretend that he actually had received the letter.
Okay. Now, the Irish Prison Service understands, is their statement, understands the impact that these necessary measures have and appreciates the cooperation and understanding about prisoners and their families and friends. We look forward to the reintroduction of physical visits in our Dublin prisons as soon as it is deemed safe to do so. So if he was in the Midlands prison or in Castlereagh or in Cork or in Limerick or in Shelton Abbey, which is in Wicklow, he could get visits.
I don't know anything about the other person.
Yeah, well, it's outside Dublin, you see. Well, right, I presume. Yeah. And do you think he's making good use of his time in there?
Oh, God, yeah, he has been. And he's been through a lot of counselling in there. And But then, again, the schools were closed down in the prison through COVID. He was back in school at the start, and then COVID came, and the schools were stopped in the prisons. So everything is as much on hold in the prisons as is out here.
Yeah.
The facilities are not there that were when he went in first.
Okay. And did he say anything about his... Like, there's over 4,000 people in prison, and Mountjoy is the biggest one. Well, and it's the biggest single one. I know Midlands goes over 2 or 3 different prisons. But did he say anything about conditions in the prison?
No. And to be fair, I spoke to him, and I have written to the governor, and I've spoke to officers in there, and they said like everybody was very cooperative through it all.
Yeah. Okay. And they did keep COVID out of prison, which was an incredible
achievement. Yes,
when you look at what happened in the UK, it was rampant.
Of course. And like when they did reintroduce the visits, they worked with brilliant guidelines. Like there was literally 2 people were allowed in, and that was in a whole visit room. There was 2 prisoners on one side of the screen and 2 visitors on the other side with about a 6-metre distance between them, and you are fully masked and a screen between you.
Yeah.
That it was so well managed that I don't understand why as soon as the announcement was made, it was completely shut back down.
But when you'd have managed so well. Yeah, but Pauline, you'd have the other difficulty if the state bans visits to nursing homes. Now, I know the demographic, the age group in nursing homes is totally different and much more vulnerable. But if they ban visits to nursing homes and they allow visits to prisons, you can imagine the uproar. Do you follow me?
I know. It's like they're in now in prison, and he's saying to me they're locked away so much longer than normal. And the worst part is not even to be able to get a stitch of clothes in, like to go through the whole summer without a pair of shorts, nothing. Because you're not allowed to leave in a pair of socks even for them. And like a photograph of their children. It's the simple things that we call simple, but the things that they're living for. And to not be allowed a photograph of your children even into you.
Yeah.
And I mean, children grow so much in a year. And as I'm sure you know yourself, children grow so much in a year. To not even be able to have that. As I said, not a stitch of clothes, nothing to be able to be brought in.
Yeah. That's a very, very difficult one. Let's hope.
It's the impact I'm worried that it's going to have on his mental health.
Now, the prison service also say photographs are allowed, but mail does have to be quarantined for a week.
I've sent photographs in. No, I sent photographs in. My sister took photographs, paper photographs, and we sent them in, and he still never received them. And we sent them in April, so that's not true. He never received them, and I've asked 3 and 4 times, and they told me why themselves. So whatever they're telling you, that's not true, because he has not been able to receive one picture.
Okay. And has he done... Well, you said there's no courses. I hope the library and that is still open, is it? Can they get books and...
I'm not sure about books. I know he was in school and then the school closed. But he did say to me the other day, but this was before the second lockdown, that the school was reopening in the next week or two because he's entitled to now. I don't understand, but he's entitled to some kind of... he can move to somewhere else, but he's got to be either in school or working in the prison to qualify for it. And he's been waiting on the school to reopen. But again, that's probably on hold now with this week. Yeah. Because that was to open last week.
Yeah, hopefully.
And then the second lockdown came.
The skills are so important in prison. They really are. Oh, God, they really are.
I mean, it's to keep the mind active, if nothing else. He's actually a very intelligent young man. He's actually very, very intelligent.
God, he wasn't that intelligent. He ended up in prison.
He used it in the wrong way, but he's actually very intelligent, and that's why I said it. But he came from, he had a very, very, I suppose, tragic childhood, which led him to end up the way, and it was in the end, my mother died, and he just took a complete breakdown, and he went from one extreme to the other. Okay. And that's how he ended up in prison.
And how many children does he have, Polly?
Three. He has three children. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And what's the eldest?
12.
Down to
7.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big responsibility now, isn't it?
It is. And that's, and I try to do my best for his children. I had his son's confirmation party now here last week for him, and I tried to do the best for him.
And when is he due out?
He's due out next year, I think January, after Christmas.
Well, that's not too far away, no?
No, it's not too far away. But as I said, I'm worried that he's done so well up to now that it's going to go reverse again.
But it's not. You tell him it's not. And he's...
No.
He's three reasons why it's not going reverse.
Well, they're the three reasons that's happened together.
Yeah, his three children, end of.
Yeah, and they are the
what
three
age is he now?
He's 35.
Ah, no, come on. Come on. 35 now.
Oh, exactly.
You have three children.
Exactly.
Okay,
and
you have a good mother looking out for you, and I presume he has a partner, whatever, they're looking out for him as well. He's lots of good people looking after him.
Oh, he's lots of good people.
So he's got to fill his side of the contract now. No more messing.
Well, to be fair, it's more me than it is him. I'm doing more worrying than him, and he keeps telling me he's fine, but I'm worried that he's lying to me and that he's not fine.
Well, say that to him. Say that to him. And do a contract, and the contract is bearing in mind the three children that he has to rear now.
Oh, he does. He'd say to me, Matt, all I want is me to go back to being a proper dad to my three children.
Okay. And I'm sure he was a good dad before he got into
He
trouble,
was a very good dad. Okay. Circumstances.
Okay. And by the way, did he know you rang the Gardaí to get him arrested?
Well, what happened was I said to him that day, I said, I'm going to have to ring the Gardaí, and he actually didn't leave, so I think he was crying out for help himself.
Okay. Which often happens.
Yeah, because he had an opportunity, because I said to him, you can run, but they're coming for you.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So,
Didn't you mention to me earlier that two of his children know he's in prison?
No, one of his children only knows he's in prison. The other two think he's in the army.
And did the other two think he's in the army? Okay.
Yeah, the other two think he's in the army.
And was he in the army?
No.
Okay.
We just told him that.
And
because
say? He's away with the army, or?
Well, they just think he's away with the army in a different country.
Yeah, okay.
And it's such a big secret for his 12-year-old to hold on to he knows where he is. But I say that sometimes about him. Like, he's holding that big secret for such a little boy.
And does the 12-year-old know how he had upset his granny, that his dad had upset his granny so much that his granny had to ring the guards?
Oh, yeah, his son knows the whole truth, and I only told him that recently. He asked me one day what happened, and I told him the truth because I thought a lie is only going to make things worse.
And
so
the
I
reason,
told him.
Did you tell him, well, you did tell him the reason you rang the guards because you love your son.
And I told him, I said, the reason why I rang the guards, I said, was to give your dad a chance to be a dad for you. I said, because otherwise he could be standing here now at his grave.
Okay.
And his son, in fairness, would have the height of respect for me and respect the decision I made when I explained it to him.
Okay, Polly, it's a difficult one. I'd have another, even drop a note to the probation service in Mountjoy and see, can you organise a video call, especially ASAP, as soon as possible.
And it's really for his children. As I
know, here,
his son has now made his confirmation and his daughter has made a communion.
Yeah.
And they...
Okay, let's see what we can do after the programme. To get him to see them. Pauline, you mind yourself. Is there someone there with you at the moment?
My other son is there.
Yeah, a cup of tea and that, yeah.
Yeah. Listen,
okay,
you're
very good. Thank you. Mind yourself, Pauline. It'll work out. He's alive. You know where he is. He's been fed.
That's what I keep saying to myself.
Yeah, well, keep saying that. Okay, mind yourself, Pauline. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Paula, you're saying if you'd known the lockdown was going to be so severe, you would have whipped your mother out of the nursing home at the start.
Well, I would have. But that doesn't sound very practical, really, when she has the level of Alzheimer's that she has. Anyway, I had to consider the other family members. They didn't agree with that.
Okay, and you've another...
To be honest with you, I would have, because she was past the stage of being difficult. She's become quite placid now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have another family member who needs visits.
Yes, he's in St. Michael's House residential care. So he is suffering, really, I think, at this stage from the lack of contact. Yeah.
And what are the rules? Is it the same rules as nursing homes? No visits at the moment in Dublin, anyway.
No visits at all. Last week it was down to one member of the family was allowed to visit. Which was difficult because there's six members of the family. Five that can visit, and prior to that it was only four were allowed, which was very difficult for me to go and. Well, not me, but, for us to decide on one person. So this is nearly easier because nobody can visit, but it's not easy on Mum. The first lockdown, she didn't even get out in the garden for 3 months, which I thought was bad management on the part of the nursing home, because really they could have arranged it somehow that they brought the third floor to the first floor where the garden is at times, but they didn't do that. And, she was deprived of visits and fresh air.
It's a very important for people to, especially people in power, to hear these stories. It's so tough on people at the minute. Let's hope everyone pulls together and whacks down the numbers in Dublin. But what happened at the weekend, and it happened at golf events as well. Let's be clear, it's not just going on about young people. What happened there should be looked at as well. Okay, thanks indeed, Paula. Maeve Mooney was the BCO, Mark Dwyer was on sound, Richard Byrne was the researcher. Today's producer was the series producer, Rebecca Meehan, and Ray Darcy is next.